So it's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word, and we praise him and give him glory and worship him. We carry on with our study in 2 Corinthians. And yesterday we started looking at Paul's defense, and you know, he's trying to address people in Corinth who are arguing the authority that he has, you know, and to them they see Paul as a very tiny, thin, frail, old man, bald head, bubbling, you know, one who looks very weak. But they don't know that you don't judge men based on the outward appearance. You don't judge men on how they look in the flesh from the carnal side, but you have to look at men as Christ. In fact, earlier on he had said that from now onwards we do not see any man after the flesh, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come, and all things are of God. So Paul has this revelation that in him there is such a great power, such a great treasure, such a great anointing that gives him authority, that gives him weapons, that has enabled him to go into territories, into different places. He has demonstrated he is an apostle. He has all the marks and the signs of an apostle. In fact, if he is to list his credentials, and which he struggles to do in this chapter, we see that he is trying to prove to men, from those who want to judge things from a carnal perspective, if they are evidences of who he is in Christ, then he has more than enough and is not inferior to these so-called super apostles. But you see, at the end of the day, he is writing to his children. It's not really about the boasting, but it's just about trying to establish his authority, trying to show them that, well, I can be bold if you want me to be bold. But you see, there's a humility that God gave Paul. And by this humility, it is what he was able to bring up this church. When he was with them, he did not exercise that authority. He worked with his own hands. In fact, he says he robbed other churches so that he can be able to support them. Other churches were the ones that were paying the bills for Paul, and he was using those resources to support the Corinthian church because they were basically babies. But now he starts to teach them how to give, how to prepare what they want to give, trying to show them about the grace that is in the Macedonian churches, that how they were willing to give. So Corinth needs to be taught, you know, because when he was with them, he was basically doing everything for them and depending on others to support them. And some, you know, would think that made Paul weak, because some of the super apostles that he was trying to fight with were actually taking advantage of the church, or, you know, or bold towards, you know, some of these aspects. But Paul knows that his strength does not come from himself. His strength comes from God, and these are some of the things that we are able to read. So let's take a read and see what it says. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "Oh, that you will bear with me in a little folly," that's a little foolishness, "and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Now, verse 5, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested, or made manifest, among you in all things." So Paul compares, you know, the church to a bride. And this is one of the revelations that Paul had, that, you know, as a, you know, husband, you wash your bride and with water, with the word, with the water of the word, and you present her to himself. You know, that's the role of a husband, that you teach your wife, you present her to yourself as a chaste virgin. And likewise, also Christ, you know, pays the sacrifice for the church and presents the church to himself as a chaste virgin. And so he has this revelation, and he tries to show them that, look here, my role has been, and I'm jealous for you with a godly jealous, that I want to ensure that I present you to Christ as a chaste virgin. That means that as a bride, as a church that is holy and blameless, without, you know, without spot, one that is not corrupted, one that is not, you know, deceived by the devil, one that is not worshiping a different gospel or a different Jesus than the one that he preached. And he's trying to tell them that, look here, I know my challenge with you is this, that you are easily deceived. And he's telling them that, look here, even the devil came to deceive Eve. And, you know, Eve was beguiled. She was deceived by the serpent's craftiness. And if they're not careful, it is possible for them to be corrupted and their minds to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That means he's trying to say that Christ that he preached to them, there was a simplicity of Christ. It was simple. It was more that Christ died for their sins. According to the gospel, he is alive, and he, by them believing in him, they receive eternal life. And that life is guaranteed by the Spirit. And as they live by the Spirit, then they are led by the Spirit of God. They are the children of God. And so there is a simplicity that is in Christ. And at times people complicate the message. Oh, you have to do this. Oh, you have to do this. When one understands the simplicity that is in Christ, then you are able to walk according to the truth of the gospel, the grace of God, and to be guided by God. And at times it does not really need to be so complicated as some of these super apostles were trying to do. However, what he noted is that the Corinthian church were also a bit too easy or a bit too welcoming for anyone preaching anything. You know, you can think of someone coming to preach to them another Jesus. You can think of those who are preaching circumcision. They're trying to tell them that, yes, you have to believe in Jesus, but you also have to be circumcised to be accepted. You know, that is a different gospel, a different Jesus, a different spirit than the one Paul taught. And he's trying to tell them that, you guys, you easily welcome such kind of people. And that this is a place that calls for discernment. You know, discernment is to know from what spirit is someone speaking, from what spirit is someone ministering. Because the reality is, when someone stands at the altar, he might be speaking about Jesus, but he might be ministering a different spirit. Now, there are people who, even when they sing, all you feel like you're doing is to pray. Or when they pray, it moves you to pray. So there are people who pray, and as you hear them pray, even you yourself, you just have to pray. So that means that that person, when he is praying, he is might be praying in tongues or singing in a song, but he's ministering to you as spirit. And that spirit is a spirit of intercession. There are people who, as they teach the word of God, they minister to you the spirit of revelation. And you start to see things. You start to understand things. And God just starts to explain things to you. Why? Because there is a spirit that every person ministers. Now, also on the contrary side, there are also those who minister their sins and their spirits of sin. So someone can be, you know, living an immoral life, and because as they minister from that altar, then you find the whole congregation is struggling with immorality. Why? Because the person that is at the altar is ministering to them a spirit of immorality. So it is very, you have to really be sensitive in the spirit to know the kind of spirit that someone is ministering. Yes, someone might use the right words, someone might have the message, yes, but at times there is always a different spirit. And any time you ask God for discernment, He is able to show you. God is able to show you. And that's also a place of carefulness, even as leaders. Who do we allow to, you know, to stand on the altar or to preach to God's people? You must always ask yourself, what spirit or what Jesus do they preach? And so this is what Paul is trying to say, that you have to test. You know, I mean, if you compare it, 1 John chapter 4, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are of God. If, you know, if anyone that, you know, does not confess that Jesus came in the flesh, then that spirit is not of God. You know, there are people who is a spirit of the Antichrist. There are people who will argue, no, Jesus was not really a human. He was just, you know, he was not fully a human. It was not him that was crucified. It was someone else that took his place. It was just an image that was crucified. Anyone that argues against the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Christ is already an Antichrist. So Paul is trying to tell them that I am jealous for you. I have betrothed you. You know, that I want to make sure that you are eventually given to Christ as a chaste virgin. And this should be the call of every leader, should be the call of every believer, to ensure that they themselves consider themselves as a chaste virgin that is not polluted, that is not, you know, having other idols, that has not given their hearts to, you know, to follow after other things, but they are committed to Christ. So Paul says that, you know, if I consider myself, I am not inferior to all these eminent apostles, all these super apostles, even though he himself is not trained in speech. He says, I am untrained in speech. But when it comes to knowledge, I have knowledge. Paul was a man of revelations. In fact, in the next chapter, he will say that if we want to boast, we can go even into revelations. And he can tell you, I know of a man, and he's speaking of himself, who went into the third heavens, and he had inexpressible things, you know, which were not permitted for him to say. So when it comes to knowledge, Paul was graced by knowledge. God had revealed so much to him. And in fact, for him, he says that this gospel to him was not taught by any man, but it came to him by revelation. God revealed, it pleased God to reveal Jesus in him, you know. And when this revelation came to him, he did not go to any man. He went to, you know, to Arabia. And then after 3 years, he came back. He saw some of the leaders. He saw Peter. And none of them could add to his message. They just say that, well, we see God has given you a grace. Go ahead and do it and go ahead and run the message. And he tells them, look here, if it comes to signs and wonders, if it comes to the proof of the ministry, I have been made manifest among you in all things. That means by evidence, you know clearly that I am an apostle of God and I am a servant of Christ. I served you. I walked with you. I did the miracles. I did the signs. The signs of an apostle were evident. You know, miracles, wonders, and signs. And all this were evident before you. So if it is a question of whether I am an apostle, then you must be very clear that I was made manifest before you. And you are the evidence of that. Verse 7, so he asks, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? No, God knows. So he starts to bring this argument that just because I did not take any resources from you, it does not mean that I did not love you. In fact, it was his expression of love that he spent what others gave him from Macedonia, from other churches, to preach the gospel to them. But he never wanted to be a burden to anyone in Corinth. In fact, everything that he did, he worked for himself. And he is saying that no one can take away the boast from him in the region of Achaia, where the Corinthian churches were, that in that whole region, he did not take any of their resources to serve and to preach to them. Why? Because he loves them. And so it's very clear that he's asking them, so was I wrong in humbling myself before you? So Paul, you know, became all things to all men. There are times where servants of God will just humble themselves just so that they can reach you. But it does not mean that they don't have authority. In fact, any true servant of God knows the authority that God has given them. But they know that the authority that God has given them is not to destroy people, but rather it is to build them up. It is for edification. So there are moments where you can see that, you know, even as a minister, that you can pass judgment on someone. You can see this person has what they're doing, they're just deserve judgment. But there is still that heart of God that calls for mercy, that you just pray that this person will come to the knowledge of the truth, will come to the light, that they don't need to end up destroyed. You can, you know, the heart of God knows that God does not desire the death of a wicked man, but he desires that he change. So there is always that humility that breaks the heart of any true servant of God to always still have a hope that even these people who are fighting, who are killing, you know, who are persecuting believers, that in one way or another, they might come to a knowledge of the truth. And that is why Paul also was treating this church in Corinth like this. Verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things in which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So, you can see Paul is quite clear. He's trying to tell them that you have to know, you have to differentiate between right and wrong. There are people who are with you, but they're not of God. Their heart is after your wealth, their heart is after your resources. They want to pride themselves, they want to show they're great, they want to show they're super apostles. But he's trying to tell them, but these are false apostles. They are deceitful workers. And even though they pretend, they transform themselves into apostles of Christ, he tells them that, look, yeah, there is already a prerequisite. There's already a pattern to it, that even Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And he deceives people. You know, there are people who, you know, have met Satan, and they genuinely worship him, and they are happy, and they're like, yeah, he's very beautiful, he has this angel of light. There are religions that have started by visitations of angels with light, thinking that all angels of light are angels of God, but Satan himself transforms himself to an angel of light, and he deceives people. So it is not a wrong thing if you find that also deceitful workers, servants of the devil, or ministers of the devil will also be transforming themselves. They'll also be pretending to be servants of righteousness. But the end, the Bible says, but their end will be according to their works. That means at the end of the day, you shall know them. You shall judge them by their fruits. What is the evidence of the work? What is the evidence of the ministry in the people? What does the ministry of such people produce? You know, there are people who minister, and at the end of it, there is chaos, there is division. You can think of the people who came to preach to, you know, to the Galatian churches, or to At the end of it, they were confusing the people. And there was so much confusion because they came and preached circumcision. And instead of the church being built up and there being great joy, because when the true servants of God go and preach, the city is in joy. The people are in joy. The people are regenerated. But you see, when deceitful servants come, they come to put people under contention. You know, someone starts to feel that, oh, I have not done this. Oh, I've not done this. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do this before God accepts me. Yet there is a simplicity that is in Christ, that Christ has fulfilled every form of righteousness that God needs of us, and our job is to receive it and walk into it. And that is the simplicity that is in Christ. It does not mean that there are no complexities. You know, the gospel, yes, it is presented in its simplicity, but there are still more and more layers and layers and layers to it. But if you move away from the simplicity, then you complicate it outside of the simplicity, then it is wrong. So we must always know, stick to the basics. There are times where you go back to the basics. What are the basics? Once you stick with the basics, then you can know if someone is wrong from the basics before you get complicated. Now, let's look. Yeah, I think we still have some time. Let's look at verse 16. And it says, I say again, let no one think of me as a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishly. This is the confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that, but in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, above measures, in prisons, more frequently, in deaths also. From the Jew, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in troubles, this peril is trouble, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity or my weakness. Then God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Look at Paul is trying to say, you guys, you're making me even speak like a fool. If it is about boasting, how do you guys accept someone who can slap you in the face? You know, you see some clips where ministers of God are stepping on people, jumping on them, being carried on their necks and their chairs. And guys are just seated. They are accepting them. And it's like, you guys, I mean, how do you put up with these things? How do you, someone devours you. Someone drags you into bondage. Someone is taking from you. Someone is exalting himself. Someone is striking you in the face. And you guys are just comfortable. You accept it. And he's telling them, to our shame, we were too weak to do that. I would not have done that. But if you want us to compare credentials, we can compare credentials. Hebrews, yes, tick. Israelites, yes, tick. I'm also an Israelite. Are they seed of Abraham? Yes, I am, tick. Are they ministers of Christ? He says, I am more. And he says, if you want me to talk like a fool, I can boast also. I am more of a minister of Christ than them. I have suffered more. I have been beaten more. 5 times I've been lashed. You know, 3 times beaten with rods. He has been in prison. He has been in the deep. He has been shipwrecked. He has been in journeys. He has traveled land and sea. He has faced trouble with countrymen, Gentiles, you know, in the city, wilderness, in if it is sleeplessness, if it is hunger, if it is thirst, if it is fasting, if it is in the cold, all these things he has done. But beyond that, he is carries the greatest burden, which is the church. He prays for them. And he says all these things. If it is boasting, he is of a higher rank than all this. But yet he was still humble with them. And he's still warning them, look here, don't move away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't allow someone to take advantage of you. Just because I was humble to you does not mean I am weak. But I did that because I want to present you to Christ, not to myself. You know, these servants of the false apostles were presenting them the church to themselves. They were taking advantage of the body. They were devouring them. But he's like, for me, I want to betroth you to Christ as a chaste virgin. That is why he's saying, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. What is our boast? If we are to boast, let us boast over our weaknesses. And this is what Paul looks at it. He says, because God taught him that it is his weakness where God's strength is made manifest. So let me take a pause here. And my brother, you are welcome, as God leads you.
Thank you.
Lord, let's pray then. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace and power. Thank you for your wisdom. I pray, even as we listen and as the word takes in heart, that, Lord, you give us discernment to know where we are being taken advantage of. I pray for leaders and those that are doing wrong, that, Lord, you have mercy on them, forgive them, cleanse their hearts, and indeed bring them to light, O God. And I pray that, Lord, that we should not be deceived from the simplicity that is in the gospel. Show us your mercy, show us your truth, guide us, correct us, watch over us, be our shield and portion, give us wisdom, give us favor, establish us in this day for your glory. Remember our family members, be with them, watch over them. We pray for the sick, those that are sick, that they may be made well. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom and blessed day.